Back here on The Scoop, the Minnesota Vikings come away with a 24-9 win over the Detroit Lions yesterday to get to 5-3-1. Here to help us break it down,
AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM. AJ, you don't have to put up many points when you've got a defensive line that can make life miserable for the opposing quarterback.
You know, you don't. You just have to get enough to win, and that's what the Vikings did. You know, they came through with enough on the offense in the first quarter, hit that third quarter low like they always do, but the defense held strong, and this defense that was struggling at the beginning of the year has now figured things out, and we're starting to see semblances of that defense we saw last year, that really good Zim Reaper, Mike Zimmer defense. Is finally starting to come together, and now we head into a bye, hoping that it'll bridge the gap and come back on a night game now with the Chicago Bears in 2 weeks.
Let's start off by looking at what the defensive line was able to do. 10 sacks, which was a franchise record, and it is even more impressive to behold, considering that they didn't have a single sack in the first quarter, and yet were able to get 10 over the final three.
Yeah, you know, that defensive line did pretty much everything right. You know, they got pressure on the quarterback. They were able to stop the run. They were able to contain the quarterback and get, you know, even when they didn't get a sack, they hurried him into bad throws, forced his hand. It was, you know, an all-around defensive effort, but it starts up front with that defensive line. And if there's pressure up the middle from Lindvall and Sheldon Richardson, then you have Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin on the outside. You're going to wreak havoc in a football game, and that's exactly what they did. And it threw the Lions off of their game early. It threw them off their game often, and Matthew Stafford just couldn't get comfortable back there. It was one of, you know, his worst games of the season as well, and it was all about scheme. You know, this is a Vikings team that had, for whatever reason, struggled against the Detroit Lions for the last couple of years, and this time they figured it out. They had the number of the Lions, they had the number of Matthew Stafford, and they were in his shorts the entire afternoon.
You look at the breakdown. Danielle Hunter had 3.5 sacks by himself. He also had 4 quarterback hits and a scoop and score on the just bizarre pitch that Stafford tried to hand off to Kerryon Johnson. So obviously a monster day for Danielle Hunter, but this is exactly what the Vikings were hoping for when they signed him to that extension. And it seems like a guy who is just starting to, continuing to get more and more comfortable in harassing opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah, here's the crazy thing. He's only 24 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a kid, a guy who is still learning his game, learning the league and how it works, and he's just doing it at such a fast pace. And, you know, when something like that happens and a guy has such a good game, you hear all the players talk about, you know, what makes him special, what makes him good. And to a man, they were all talking about how he came into the league right away and he listened. He understood that he didn't have all the answers, and you know, some rookies come in thinking they're this, they're that, and they get swallowed up by the professional athletes and the professional preparers in the NFL. And Danielle wasn't like that. You know, he had all the physical talent in the world, all the athletic ability, but he came in and he listened, and he listened to guys like Everson Griffin, guys like Brian Robinson. And not only did he listen, then he emulated what they were doing, and he took what he learned in the classroom and he put it into work on the football field, whether it be practice and then ultimately into the games. And now, you know, he's had a season this year where he's leading the league in sacks, and for most of the year he was without Everson Griffin on the other side. It's not as if he hasn't been getting attention because there's somebody really good drawing attention on the other side of the football. It's mainly been Danielle Hunter and then some backups with Stephen Weatherly on the other side during Everson's absence. So to see what he's been able to do under those circumstances is even more impressive. And really, I mean, you look at what he can do, and it really is a situation where the sky is the limit for this guy.
You talked about the Vikings' ability to slow down the Lions on the ground. They finished with 66 yards on 24 carries, and that had been one of the things that I think had set this Lions team apart from teams in the past. They were able to get some success on the ground. How much did that take Detroit's offense out of whack with them not able to consistently run the ball?
Well, very much so. You know, you whether you're a passing team or a running team, you try to get that balance so that the defense has to play you straight up. And when you're unable to get the balance in the run game, you're unable to do that. That's that allows the Vikings to know that you're going to pass it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to move the football. You know, really, the only way that the Lions moved up and down the field to get into to scoring range for those three field goals that they ended up getting was because of a passing game. And when you're predictable, when you become a one-dimensional football team, that's when the defense can pin their ears back and rush the quarterback. You know, they know where the ball is going to be because they don't have to worry about a handoff that's going to run right past them. They just run to the back of the pocket there and then wait for Matthew Stafford to walk right into them sometimes. And that's what we saw a couple times on Sunday. But the reality is, anytime you can make a team one-dimensional and really know what they're going to do, you're going to have the edge. You're going to have the advantage, and you can rotate fresh bodies in. That's what the Vikings do, is they have a lot of depth on that defensive line, whether it be the interior or the exterior. They can rotate fresh bodies in, and you don't get that on offense. So the linemen on the offense get tired. They don't get to cycle in and get a breather on the sidelines the way that a defensive line can. So if you're able to be more fresh than the other team, and you have the ability to make them one-dimensional and know exactly where the quarterback's going to be, that's advantage Minnesota Vikings, and that's the big part of that defensive game plan that they employed yesterday.
AJ, before we take a look at the Vikings, I want to ask about the late game decisions made by Matt Patricia. He ends up going for the field goal and then takes all three of his timeouts to get the ball back for his offense, and then elects to just have Stafford run the ball a couple times to run out the clock. Were you surprised at all by any of those late decisions that he made?
You know, I wasn't bothered by the first one, the decision to kick the field goal, because you needed those points. You needed to get an onside kick and a score. What I didn't get was the latter half of your question there, the three timeouts to get the ball back. You know, maybe you didn't expect the Vikings to pin you in at the one-yard line, but you call three timeouts right away, and then you essentially end up taking two, you know, victory formations. First time I've ever seen a losing team take victory formation. They ran the first one forward just to get Matthew Stafford enough space to take a knee on the second one, and ultimately just, you know, concede the game. It was a weird situation. You know, it probably wouldn't have mattered, but at the same time, you're sending a message that you're never going to give up, never going to give up. Okay, we give up, we give up. And it was just weird. You know, again, I don't think it would have factored into the game had it gone any different way, but it was just, you know, sending two different messages to a team that really doesn't know what the message is from the coach right now.
AJ, on the Vikings offensive side of the ball, it certainly looked like Dalvin Cook was back at full force, although he did admit on that long touchdown run that he didn't necessarily go into full gear. But how good was it to see Dalvin back and having some success on the field yesterday?
Well, you know, it's always great to have Dalvin back. He brings another element to this team when it comes to outside edge rushing and obviously, you know, how they utilize him in that passing game with the screens. But, you know, I really think that, you know, Dalvin's resurgence and Latavius's good games in the last couple of weeks have really been predicated by the success of the offensive line. They've taken a lot of flack up there. They've had some injuries. They've had some poor play. And in the last couple of weeks, they've slowly started to figure things out. Not to the point that I'm going to say that they're a great offensive line or that there's no concern with them, but to a point where, you know, that concern wanes and you start to see that big, gigantic hole that opened up on that 70-yard run turn into something that can benefit this team. And if that offensive line is able to protect the quarterback, he can pass. If that offensive line is able to open some holes in the run game, it's going to open up some stuff in the passing game. So, you know, those are the guys that are going to get overlooked in all this because Dalvin had the 70-yard run and everyone's excited to see Latavius get in the end zone again. But that offensive line, now that Riley Reiff is back, Brian O'Neill stayed at right tackle despite Reiff's return. I think that they're figuring some things out. Hopefully they can start to gel and get a couple games together under their belt so that they know exactly what the guy next to him is going to do.
Unfortunately, the receiving streak for Adam Thielen came to an end, but obviously a tough matchup for Thielen going up mostly against Darius Slay. And with Stephon Diggs not on the field, obviously they devoted a lot of attention Thielen's way. Looking at some of the other receivers who had a chance to have an impact, Chad Beebe got a chance to get some plays yesterday. What did you think of his action with the Vikings?
He looked good. You know, he was a good route runner, was able to get open. That's the thing that stuck out to me most, was he was creating opportunities for himself because of his precision route running, and he was fooling the opposition. So, you know, I think you're going to see more BB going forward, even when Stephon Diggs comes back. You know, Laquon Treadwell ended up being the leading receiver for the team yesterday. It's not saying a whole lot, but at the same time, you have a guy who was catching the balls that were getting thrown to him, which is, you know, good to say for him. But then, you know, I think odd man out going forward is probably going to be Brandon Zylstra. I think he has some talent. He has a role for this team and maybe in this team's future. But right now, Chad Beebe offers something as far as a kind of a slot right wide receiver, the type that, you know, Julian Edelman is, the New England Patriots, that can kind of run in, run out, and just knows how to run a route to get open. I think that's something that he can offer this team. And a guy like Kirk Cousins likes players like that he knows that he can rely on the fact that they're going to get open because of what they do on a down-by-down basis. And then at that point, he's able to throw the ball before they even turn around. He throws it to a spot and just trusts they're going to get open. And they do, and they convert, and that's what we saw with Beebe yesterday. So I think you're going to see some more Chad Beebe going forward down the stretch here.
Unfortunately, as well, it seems like David Morgan may have suffered an injury during the game, as he had to be examined on the sidelines. Any update on Morgan's status with the bye week ahead of us?
You know, I wasn't able to be at the press conference today, so I'm not sure if Coach Zimmer gave an update, but I don't think it's great. You know, he was walking under his own power in the locker room, but he did have a knee brace on and was very gingerly kind of putting weight on that leg. So, you know, I know he's going to have an MRI today if he hasn't already. And it's, you know, I don't foresee it being great news that you're going to hear, but, you know, anything outside of an ACL tear might be okay news for him going forward. But I know that there is some concern that it could be a season ending injury.
Yikes. Speaking on the bye week, a later bye week for the Vikings than the last couple of seasons, just how important was it to have it at this point in the year so that the Vikings can get a little healthier and gear up for the stretch run?
Well, I mean, you saw it was a grind to get to this point. In the last couple of weeks, they've really been hit by the injury bug, and it would have been nice to have a bye a couple of weeks ago, but now getting some momentum going into a tough stretch of schedule where you have two divisional games against the Bears and the Packers, followed up by a trip to Foxborough to play the Patriots, and then you're going to Seattle to play the Seahawks. That's a tough stretch right there. But theoretically, if all goes according to plan, outside of potentially David Morgan, everybody else should be back after the bye. You know, Anthony Barr, Lidwell Joseph was healthy, Stephon Diggs should be back, Anderson Dejo expected to be able to be back. You have this late season bye is an opportunity for all your players to get healthy down the stretch for a big playoff run. And for a team like the Vikings, that, you know, they every team has injuries, but the Vikings have some pretty significant injuries to important players on both offense and defense. Getting them healthy, getting Dalvin fully rested and Riley Reiff fully rested is really going to allow them to you know, get their full, you know, plate of players ready to go when they come back against the Bears on now a flexed to Sunday night football game in Chicago.
AJ, I did want to ask you as well. It was something that kind of slipped my mind because we really didn't have to think about it at all yesterday. The special teams for the Vikings, Dan Bailey hitting a couple, hitting a field goal and getting all of his extra points as well. And then Matt Weil had a nice day pinning the Lions deep in their own territory on a couple of punts. How nice was that to not have to worry about that for at least a week?
Well, it's good. You know, typically you take it for granted that they're just going to go out there and do their job and do okay. And yesterday, Matt Weil, I think, was the most impressive piece where he was able to you know, pin them deep into their own zone and pin them inside the 20 multiple times. And then you get Dan Bailey, a guy who's just going to do his job and was able to get some kicks and convert on those plays. It was important for this team, again, for them to get confidence that they can carry over into the bye week and beyond as well.
Final one for you, AJ, before we let you go. With this being the bye week, any content in particular that listeners can check out while they awaits the next game for the Vikings in 2 weeks?
Yeah, for sure. You know, this week we're going to really reflect, look back at the first half of the season for the Vikings. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Rick Spielman, for his bye week availability and get his assessment on the first part of the year. So there'll be some of that as well, but it's going to be a little bit of looking back, and then ultimately next week we'll turn the page and look forward to that final stretch for the playoff run and starting with that game in Chicago.
Outstanding. Great stuff today, AJ. Thanks for joining us to recap Vikings Lions. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll talk to you next week to gear up for that pivotal Sunday night matchup against the Bears.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.